Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the PDS Limited Quarter Four and FY 2026 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shirley Rodriguez. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
A warm welcome to all participants to PDS Limited's Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call. Our presentation and financial results are available on the company's website and stock exchanges. Please note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which may be construed as forward-looking statements must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio will be available on the company website and stock exchanges. Today, we have with us the management, which includes Mr. Palak Seth, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Sanjay Jain, Group CEO, and Mr. Sadik Sunasara, Group CFO. I now hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Jain to make the opening remarks.
Thank you, Shirley. Greetings to everyone. Thank you so much for joining the earnings call. The year 2026 was a year that tested the resilience, agility, and execution capabilities of global apparel supply chains. The operating environment remained very challenging throughout the year, shaped by cautious consumer sentiment, the evolving trade dynamics, the rampant geopolitical disruptions, and the continued inventory discipline across global retailers and brands. Notwithstanding the challenges, we delivered GMV growth of 5% to approximately 19,666 crores and a revenue growth of 4% to rupees 13,110 crores for FY 2026. Importantly, this growth came in during a period where the broader apparel industry globally grew only very modestly and remained highly value-led in nature. Within this context, our ability to maintain stable, though a modest growth, but we did grow in the challenging timeframe, it reflects continued customer retention and increasing relevance of scaled, compliant, and flexible sourcing platform like PDS. As we are into the year FY 2027, our order book as of early April stand at about 5,074 crores, reflecting a growth of approximately 11% and thereby are providing an encouraging visibility into FY 2027. Plus, within this order book, there is momentum building in higher value sourcing and the service engagements in North America. In fact, while our order book on the whole is up about 11%, in North America, it is up closer to 30% as compared to same period last year. We continue to deepen our presence in the U.S. through new customer additions and stronger scaling across existing strategic accounts. A key milestone during the year was securing a new sourcing-as-a-service mandate with a leading U.S. value retailer, with a relationship having the potential to scale beyond approximately 475 crores over a period of time. This further validates our long-term strategy of building a higher value service-led sourcing platform rather than operating as a purely transactional sourcing partner. We're also witnessing green shoots across the U.S. market with now close to five strategic partnerships established across leading global retailer and the brand ecosystem in U.S. Structurally, we believe the global sourcing landscape continue to evolve in favor of diversified, asset-light, and compliant supply chain platforms. Retailers are increasingly consolidating their vendor base and seeking partners who can offer agility, geographic diversification, and speed to market, compliance, and integrated sourcing capabilities across multiple regions. While customers continue to remain cautious with shorter order cycles and selective order deferments in certain regions, we are not witnessing any broad-based cancellations and now are beginning to see stable throughput across the core sourcing platform. We informed you about the circa 475 crore scalable order sourcing as a service in U.S., and we are also witnessing a buildup of healthy traction in our U.K. and European markets for sourcing as a service orders as well. Alongside growth, we remained very sharply focused on profitability, cash generation, and importantly, capital discipline. One of the important achievements during FY 2026 was a strengthening of our balance sheet and operating cash flow. Through disciplined working capital management almost across all our verticals and tighter operating controls, the net working capital days reduced from about 17 days one year back to about four days at the end of FY 2026. In fact, we added the new lobster business about two years plus back, and if we take that out of the calculation, which we are now increasingly trying to make that working capital efficient, for the rest of the business, the mainly sourcing and manufacturing, it is almost down to zero days or even slightly negative as well. Business generated operating cash flow of approximately 780 crores during the year, and net debt reduced from about 374 crores one year back to close to about 100 crores. This is despite the addition to the debt by way of the Knit Gallery acquisition, wherein the acquired company had its own debt as well. The consolidated position came down from 374 crores to about 105 crore net debt. We remain focused on rationalizing loss-making verticals, curtailing investment into new businesses, strengthening our governance around capital allocation, and embedding stronger cost discipline across the organization. Our investment into new vertical reduced by approximately 27% during FY 2026. While several restructuring and portfolio optimization initiatives are already beginning to improve the profitability trajectory of the business. In fact, in some of our mature businesses as well, we took some call to rationalize the cost structures as well. Alongside the financial discipline, we continue to sharpen our strategic positioning for the next phase of growth. Importantly, we are now transitioning from a tactical cost stabilization to structural, efficiently driven transformation. Our BCG-led cost transformation initiatives are now getting institutionalized through an internally named project, Project Pulse. Our enterprise-wide digital backbone, integrated sourcing, supplier governance, procurement workflows, pricing intelligence, and importantly, the master data management are all getting unified into an AI-enabled platform. Thereby, whatever BCG gave as recommendation on procurement efficiencies, we believe should get institutionalized. We believe this initiative should keep giving us benefit year-over-year. In some of our large verticals, besides the initiatives related to procurement efficiencies, we also witnessed room to improve the OpEx and the utilization thereof. In the later part of the year, we took measures to, in case we had to take some calls for redundancies, we took that and provided for that in the later half of the year as well. As we enter FY 2027, we continue to remain mindful of ongoing macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainties. We believe the foundations of the business have materially strengthened now. We're entering the new year leaner, more disciplined, operationally sharper, and strategically better positioned to benefit from the emerging sourcing shifts and improving trade tailwinds globally. With this, I would like to hand over to Mr. Sadik Sunasra, our Group CFO, to walk you through the financial performance for the quarter and full year FY 2026.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, everyone. Let me take you through the key financials and operational highlights for Q4 and FY 2026. For FY 2026, the business delivered GMV of approximately 19,666 crores, reflecting 5% year-on-year growth, while revenues grew 4% to 13,110 crores. From a margin perspective, gross margins for FY 2026 improved by 48 basis points to 20.6%, supported by procurement efficiencies, disciplined sourcing, and some one-off opportunities in Q3. On the OpEx side, we witnessed encouraging sequential improvements during Q4. Employee expenses remained largely flat versus the previous quarter, while other expenses declining by approximately 6% quarter-on-quarter, reflecting tighter operating discipline and ongoing cost optimization initiatives. These are despite the additions in P&L of Knit Gallery in manufacturing and one vertical of GSCL Michael E in sourcing side. EBITDA for the year was 385 crore versus 457 crore last year. Other income almost doubled to 99.7 crores in FY 2026, primarily driven by FX gains and mark-to-market gains of around 19 crore on PDS venture investments. We are witnessing positive traction across our VentureTech investment portfolio with improving value realization, and it is now moving towards a self-sustaining model, with new investments will only be done from cash realized from exits. Finance cost for the full year was 14.65 crores, higher by about 16% compared to last year. If we remove Knit Gallery interest component, the interest cost on a like-to-like basis was only higher by around 3%. There's a decline of approximately 5.4% sequentially, supported by stronger operating cash flows and improved working capital efficiency. Effective tax rate for FY 2026 was 13.5% compared to 10.1% in FY 2025. As guided earlier, we have full impact of Pillar Two now in our ETR. At India standalone level, we have taken an impairment of about 14 crore on investment in DBS Lifestyle vertical. DTA on account of this and other losses have reduced our Q4 ETR to almost 7.7%. PAT for the year was 178 crores versus 241 crore in FY 2025. Our profitability improved during the quarter, with Q4 PAT increasing almost 95% quarter-on-quarter to 72 crores compared to 37 crores in Q3, driven by improved operating leverage, tighter control on operating costs, and moderation in finance costs. During the year, we undertook several restructuring and rationalization initiatives, including the closure of Design Arc brands and Lily and Sid, consolidation of Design Arc Asia and Design Arc licensing business into Poetic Gem vertical, and other exits from loss-making businesses such as Grupo and J-Craft verticals. We are engaged in strategic discussions with business heads of other verticals identified as part of our portfolio optimization initiatives to improve overall profitability and capital efficiency. From a segment perspective, the sourcing business remained resilient, contributing revenues of approximately 12,399 crores with EBIT of 266 crores. The manufacturing segment also delivered strong performance during FY 2026, with revenues growing 31% year-on-year to approximately 1,034 crores and EBIT increasing to 57 crores, translating into EBIT margins of approximately 5.5%. The performance was supported by operational improvements, better factory utilization, and the successful integration of Knit Gallery acquisition. Our balance sheet continued to strengthen materially during the year. Sanjay had briefly mentioned the numbers. Net debt reduced sharply to around 105 crores as of March 2026 from 374 crores in March 2025, despite the consolidation of approximately 98 crores of debt from Knit Gallery acquisition. Net working capital remained tightly managed at around 4 days, supporting strong operating cash flow generation of approximately 780 crore during the year. CapEx during the year was almost reduced by more than half compared to FY25, reflecting disciplined capital allocation. Our leverage ratios remain comfortable, with net debt to EBITDA at around 0.36 and normalized return on capital employed at approximately 25%, reflecting improving capital efficiency and stronger balance sheet quality. Lastly, I am pleased to share that we have proposed a dividend payout of rupees 3.3 per share, of which rupees 1.65 per share was paid as interim dividend, amounting to around 42% of FY26 PAT, maintaining our capital return track record. With this, we now open the session for queries from all the participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Hitendra Pradhan with Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, so thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to the gross margin. So sir, what is our outlook for gross margin and EBITDA margin for this year? If you can elaborate, like, you know, on the vendor side and as well as the on the client side, you know, how the situation is currently stacked up, and we can, you know, further gain on gross margin from here on.
Could you kindly repeat your question briefly again? We all could not hear it clearly.
Hitendra, we request you to please speak a little louder and closer to the mic.
I was asking for the outlook on gross margin and EBITDA margin for this year, sir. On the gross margin, if you can elaborate on the, you know, if we can further kind of gain from these levels, specifically from the vendor side or on the client side, because, you know, situation is a bit difficult macro-wise, as you mentioned, highlighted. So if you can elaborate on the gross margin side, that would be helpful.
Yes, I think as we mentioned at the end of our third quarter call, that we are anticipating an average 40 to 50 basis point improvement in the gross margin in the next 1 or 2 years every year. So we remain at that number. So this year, if it all goes well, we should see a gross margin improvement of this order. I think slightly more than that, 50 to 75 basis point, we are targeting that it should reflect in terms of improvement in the EBITDA margins for the current year. The benefit of gross margin. Secondly, the current costs between gross and EBITDA reflect a lot of restructuring initiatives as well, which have been one-time costs. So as we look forward to make recovery, we should see slightly better than gross margin, improvement in the EBITDA margins.
Yes, sir. On that point, sir, if we exclude the investment into the associates, I mean, you had guided that, you know, that that would kind of moderate down. I think it is currently at 120 CR, and, you know, it will come down further. But excluding that, the other expenses seem to have spiked this year as well. So, sir, what will drive the efficiency gain in the other expenses, that you are saying that, you know, then it would contribute to our EBITDA margin gain?
Yeah, so I think firstly, we need to make a like-to-like comparison of the other expenses. For example, while on the whole the increase appears to be 16% for the entire year, but if we exclude NetGallery, the GSC acquisition that we did, it is more closer to about 11% or so. And some of the one or two drivers of this increase is, for example, we had an impact of royalty payment related to our brand sales, while we were in a mode of curtailment of certain brands, you know, but we could not in the near term bring down our royalty obligations. So that was one. And as Sadiq also mentioned, that the businesses that we have taken a call to shut down, you know, there are some provisions related to that as well. So I guess as, you know, our top line traction build up, as these one-offs go away, you should see efficiency of that coming in as well.
Got it, sir. And the, sir, final one on the working capital. So there has been significant kind of improvement this year. Seems to be led by our account receivables as well as, I think, you know, other current liability. So, sir, this 16 to 17 days of working capital, is it sustainable or, you know, we can expect some other kind of increase considering the global situation? I mean, if, you know, on the logistics side or from, you know, the, if we, you know, do gaining more clients on the US or European markets, I mean, can it like kind of, you know, improve further from this level or working capital days can increase from here? I mean, if you can give your thoughts on that.
I think on a lighter note, we are surely not going to allow it to go back to 17 days. And I think, you know, we've come a long way. Our endeavor throughout the year would be to try and keep it at current levels. You know, you may see some fluctuations quarter by quarter, but for the entire year, our endeavor would be to maintain where we are at present.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, and we'll join back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, you are requested to please restrict yourselves to two questions only. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Our next question comes from the line of Samvit Patel with DT Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So first up, you know, just looking at the PPT in your top 10 verticals, when we look at Poetic Gem and Simple Approach, we see that there's been a sharp erosion in the margins that they've had in PBT terms. Can you just throw some light on what's happened there?
So, as I said earlier, some of the BCG-led exercise initiatives, which were twofold on procurement efficiency and also in general the operating efficiency of manpower deployment and, you know, try and make the best use of it. So, Poetic Gem, Simple Approach were two key verticals who participated through that exercise. And while we started early on efficiency, procurement efficiencies on the manpower and other OPEX, the initiatives got into implementation in the second half. So therefore, on the whole, actually, you know, across these verticals, there has been a net reduction in the manpower. And redundancy costs were also built in, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to make it more efficient. So therefore, to answer your point with that backdrop, what you see here is, you know, more an impact of, you know, the one-time redundancies, you know, than anything else. And we should see now with that behind us, we should see that these two verticals, we are very positive on them, that they should bounce back to an increasing trajectory of profit.
Understood. That's helpful. And the second question I had is on when we look at this year, it's been challenging for us when we look at our top 10 customers. Two of them had a lot of challenges in this year. Going into FY27, what is the outlook for our top 10
customers? We cannot hear you. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying, going into FY27, what is our outlook for the top 10 customers that we have in terms of growth?
The 11% growth that we have set in the overall order book, I think across our top 10 clients, you know, we should see growth more in the vicinity of about 7-8%, you know, slightly lower than the average. It is the new verticals that will fire the growth. It is the North America that will be firing the growth. But an average 7-8% overall growth across the top 10 accounts, we feel positive on that.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, hi. Sanjay. So just you mentioned that gross margin you are expecting sort of to improve 50 basis points over the next 2-3 years every year, and the flow through should be slightly higher to EBITDA. Like 50 to 75 basis points. Is that, first of all, that clarification, is that correct?
Yeah, 40 to 50 basis point average gross margin and slightly higher translation into EBITDA margin. Yeah.
So just, on this point, so just wanted to understand, if one were to look at the cost structure today and looking at the employee costs and other expenses, of course, you mentioned there were some one-offs, you alluded to that, at the same time, we're looking at some reduction as well at an aggregate level based on the BCG program. I'm only talking about the OPEX right now. So from here on, if we were to revert back to, 10-12% of revenue growth, how do you see the OPEX growing on a normalized level? I'm not saying that that will be the growth rate that we are aspiring for or that will be the growth rate that we will come to, but just wanted to get a sense that what would be the operating expenses that one should sort of look at, given a lot of it is one-off and things like that from here on.
So I think allow us to answer it in this manner that we will continue to be extremely cautious for this year. Global tailwinds are to everybody's knowledge. We've had a tough year. We're starting on a good order book note, but I think we're maintaining, a mid single digit growth outlook for the current year, and then closer to about 10% or so plus growth in the profits. So therefore, if we have to achieve this, then we have been trying to curtail costs. Of course, the redundancy have to be provided. So next year, to answer specifically your point, I think the growth in the employee cost and other expenses, should not exceed our overall growth in the top line. That, I think, is clearly we are seeing, as a driving factor inside all our verticals. So that's something that specifically I can tell you, that the growth in expenses should be slower than growth in the top line.
That's very good to hear, sir. And just one more thing on the US business. So there was one anomaly that I was noticing. So in the presentation for 9 months, we had said that there was a 30 crore negative, meaning that you invested 30 crores. And for the full year, it is 22 crores. So does it mean that there was some kind of a return to profitability or profitability was achieved in that business in Q4? I mean, I'm just trying to understand that a bit better.
I think allow us to make a note of your query. Our team is here, and we will surely look into it in terms of what is the plausible reason of that. And, I think we will surely circle back to you by this evening or tomorrow in terms of what you observed as a variance.
Okay, so but just on a broader term, the U.S. business is still sort of not achieving at scale, right? So then, I mean, without getting into specifics, I'll wait to hear from you, but because I think we were looking at getting into black in the U.S. direct business from somewhere in 27, so early 27. So does that, given the expectation of growth accelerating, does that still hold?
See, the U.S. business did make more money in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Black for sure. I think the business, as we had anticipated, it is PBT positive for fourth quarter. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And sir, just maybe more longer term and more, so let's say, I mean, we are cautious for this year. I understand given so much of volatility, but let's say, let's extend this horizon to maybe 2 years from here, let's say FY 2028 or 2029. I mean, we had that objective of getting to 5% PAT, and I understand that we are way behind there. But like, from here on, I mean, of course, given so much of volatility, one would assume that a business model like ours would be very much favored by companies. So, what, I mean, from our positioning with the customers and our positioning, especially with our newer customers, I mean, given all that, how do you, let's say 3 years out, we are in FY 2020, we're starting FY 2027 now, let's say FY 2029, how do you see, like, what would be the baseline achievements or baseline metrics that you would want to sort of definitely, you feel confident totally given wherever your conversations are going across different geographies, different types of customers? I mean, if you could maybe talk a bit in terms of numbers because that will help us because business model-wise, I know we are fairly, I mean, it is all for us to see what, I mean, the value that we bring, but if you could maybe contextualize in terms of financial numbers. I know it's difficult, but if you can just make, and hence I'm saying, like, let's not talk about next 4 quarters. I'm saying let's talk about maybe 2, 3 years out.
Yeah. So I think, firstly, allow me to request that post this, we move to the next participants. Our teams are available to answer. And I also have Palak joining in from London. So we divide answer to your question if required in two parts. Let me request Palak to give you a 2-3-year strategic outlook in terms of how we see things evolving from here. And, you know, I'll surely supplement that with numbers as you asked. Palak, over to you, please.
Yeah. Hi, Sanjay. Hi, everyone. So what we are definitely seeing, you know, both in the U.S., U.K., and European markets, that the retailers are under pressure to cut costs and restructure the organizations. So what that is doing is definitely bringing opportunities to platforms like PDS, where they're coming to us for various services. So as Sanjay mentioned earlier, you know, the sourcing as a service business model that we had started around 2 years ago is having some very large active conversations with retailers who are talking about cutting the overhead in their sourcing operation in Asia and giving PDS the option to run those businesses. So hopefully in the next 2-3 months, we'll have some large contracts signed. And they are normally 4- to 5-year contracts. So they're not, you know, businesses which every quarter we have to start from zero. These are long-term contracts where PDS can then predict its revenue and bottom line based on some of these discussions. Similarly, on the design-led sourcing business, you know, which is the core of the company, we are again seeing that there are a lot of retailers who are restructuring the organization, reducing their own design function, and depending on certain vendors to bring them those opportunities. So overall, the markets are tough, but the macroeconomic condition that is pushing our retailers to cut costs, restructure the organizations is throwing a lot of opportunities towards PDS. In the last 2 to 3 years, you know, we took a conscious decision to invest in a few new verticals. And I think, you know, out of the 20 new verticals we have started, 12 or 13 of them have actually now succeeded and have become profitable. And they are all these, you know, the businesses that we have started will all scale up in the next 2 to 3 years based on the traction and the customer base that they've been able to onboard we have seen. The only segment in PDS which we are currently considering how to carry forward and what to perform is the entire brands business, you know, because the brand wholesale business is more challenged. So PDS is trying to rationalize its portfolio on the brands business, but design-led sourcing, sourcing the service structurally is really working in our advantage. Customers cutting costs, outsourcing more activities. And fortunately for us, there are not too many other competitors who can professionally work with the retailers on these large opportunities. So the good thing is if there are any global sourced contracts coming up, it's only PDS and Lianfeng, which are actually in the RFQ stage at the end. So I think overall, you know, we are remaining quite confident. Last 12 months, we have not started any new vertical or invested any new business. We continue to, next 12 months, we probably will continue not to also make any new investments. But the investments we have made last 3 years, many of them have started working quite well and we lay the foundation for future profit and growth of the company. So Sanjay, you want to add anything on top, please?
Yeah. So Thanks, Palak. And I think in terms of translation of that to numbers, while you know, I will again emphasize our continuation of caution for current year, but we remain very positive about mid-teens growth from medium to long-term outlook. And I think everything is in place. You know, we first and foremost, this year, 26, 27, we got to make sure restoration of our profitability, you know, and then changing gears to scaling up growth thereafter in the next year. So therefore, to answer your point, medium to long-term, mid-teens growth that we've also historically achieved in the past, we are very positive that that is very much doable.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vinod Krishna from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So this, in continuation with the last participant, see, I'm new to the company, so if you pardon me if you have answered. Let's say you add new customers like Walmart, and you are also working with retailers, brands, and PE players. So my doubt was, because sourcing of textiles runs into, I don't know how many tens of billions of dollars. So when you try to scale up with each customer, because they are not going to completely shut down their procurement departments or sourcing, so how will we get the get into them and start gaining wallet share? Can you explain more in detail, like, the value proposition of PDS and why we will win over the long run? And because where is this question coming from is, given such a huge opportunity, market should not really force us to post very, very low growth rates, right? And how confident are you of achieving that 5-5-5 in the coming, I won't say decade, but at least before this decade, like in the coming 7-8 years? So I think you understood my question, right? How do you, because Walmart is not going to shut down their procurement department, but they still have onboarded you, means there is some dynamic playing over there, that with some kind of vendors or manufacturers they wanted through you, or some kind of categories they wanted through you. So if you can explain us why you can scale with Walmart kind of players, and why they allow, because they're not going to close down everything. So that's our understanding. Please, if you can explain, it would help us understanding the PDS ability to scale in the long run.
Palak, you want to take that first?
I can take that first. So I think, you know, if you look at a retailer's typical procurement model, especially people like Walmart, approximately 15 to 20% of their sourcing is through their sourcing offices currently. 70 to 80% is through third party. So, you know, so there is, if you are a direct factory based out of India, Bangladesh, or China, or Vietnam, or these countries, typically your source of getting those orders is going to the local offices of Walmart or other similar retailers, and taking the tech packs and executing those tech packs and confirming the orders. But large part of the business is still run from, you know, New York domestic wholesalers or third-party vendors, you know. So the buyers are given a clear opportunity to buy from wherever they can get the best price and design and value equation. So today's day and age, you know, very few retailers are insisting that the business happens only through their procurement offices. But this is where PDS design-led sourcing ends up becoming more and more useful and meaningful to our customers. So that is on the Walmart piece. But then there are other retailers, you know, for example, we are talking to one of the largest French supermarkets. You know, they are one of the largest supermarkets which have got huge procurement happening in Asia. But they are becoming a food-first business. So there they have a strategic intent to divest the entire sourcing. So in that case, then PDS is talking to that French supermarket that we could potentially do sourcing as a service and then take on the headcount and payroll they have across countries in Asia, and then become their sourcing operation and run the entire procurement on their behalf through the sourcing as a service business model. So, you know, the industry is very dynamic, right? So the way the whole market is going, there is opportunity for different formats and different retailers to exist. And similarly for the supply companies. I would say, you know, if you're a factory today sitting in Asia and you're not in the top five factories in any one country, a large manufacturing group, it's very difficult to get any traction from any retailer today. So, you know, the retailers are also consolidating their supply chain. And if you're just another factory having some production in some part of Asia, you're not able to attract the right customer strategically as well. So the value proposition PDS offers is clearly there. You know, that is why we are looking at close to 20,000 crore GMV this year. And, you know, some of the discussions happening that will continue to grow in the years to come.
So you're confident about...
We are the only services business industry. You know, when we approach a customer, PDS says we have got four core services. One is manufacturing, where we own our factories as well. right? We are factories in Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and India. Second is strategic vendor model, where design-led sourcing. We're designing to the retailers' private label, and we've got around 600 factories approved across Asia, where PDS become the vendor to the retailers, and these factories are attached under PDS, you know, to those retailers. So, for example, with the Primark or Kohl's, PDS is a vendor on record, and under us, maybe 30 or 40 different factories have been approved in different parts of the world. PDS does the design, development, and sales, and then procures goods from these parties and maintains a gross margin of 15, 17, 18%, whatever maximum we can get in that design-led sourcing model. So first is manufacturing, second is strategic vendor, which is design-led sourcing, third is agency, which is we call sourcing as a service, then we become retailer sourcing operation and run their entire operation in different parts of the world, and fourth is a brands business, where we, a lot of brands, you know, have been sold to IP companies, and then PDS takes those brands and then helps distribute on the wholesale basis. So the first three businesses, we are quite confident, the manufacturing, the design-led sourcing and sourcing the service, definitely, you know, this profit business model. On the brand side, we are evaluating our portfolio, how much to keep and what to invest in the future or disinvest. So out of the four services, three are actually gaining a lot of traction, and there's huge value proposition from the customers that they see and continuing to give us opportunities. So hopefully
you
answers your question.
Thank you very much for detailed answer, Palakji. So the 5 billion GMV
I request you to please rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that when the global apparel market is 1.9 trillion and our GMV is 2.2 billion, which is 0.1% of the market share, then why have we chosen to get into the brands and started competing with our customers instead of, why not first get a 1% market share and then try to diversify into non-core areas?
So,
I think the offering of private label stroke brands has been very synergistic to our offerings. The customers, through their loyalty programs, came to this conclusion that they can do some customized offering in their stores, and they invited us to participate in that. It went very smooth and fine because there has not been any inventory risk as well, and our brand business has been growing steadily. It is when we went ahead with the Treadbaker arrangement, whereby we relied on, while we did our own diligence, but we relied a lot on, you know, a very large private equity backed ABG group, having the ownership of Treadbaker brand and having appointed their own franchisee to run the UK and US operations. Everything looked good. It is when these retail franchisees, went into administration that the agency sales of New Lobster stroke Treadbaker got impacted. So therefore, what we started has seen good traction. We relied upon, a large player's appointment of the third-party franchisees. So I think that did not work out well. So that is where you hear a bit of caution. As Palak also rightly said, manufacturing, we are very positive. Sourcing as a service, very positive. Design-led sourcing, very positive. Brands, we are carefully evaluating. We have curtailed a few, so I think in our journey, brands has been a mixed kind of success, but that's fine. I think we seem to have taken the corrective actions, and the focus for the near term shall continue to be the three segments that Palak mentioned, and the brands being run by us more in the shape of private labels without any inventory risk being taken.
So the 124 crore loss that we did last year, when will we break even and what is the loss expected for FY27, and when will we reach our EBITDA that we did 4 years back of 475 crores in FY23? After that we raised 400-450 crores also. So basically since FY23 the net worth has gone up by 70%, but the EBITDA has collapsed. So I mean, are you satisfied with this performance?
So I think I will answer what you asked first, that we had in the last financial year, FY25, 168 crores of investments across new verticals. And we had foreseen that in the coming 2 years, firstly in FY26, we will try and bring that down by one-fourth. We've actually brought it down by 27, and we had said we will be able to bring it down to about 80 crores in FY27. We remain positive that we will be able to bring it to 80 crores. Beyond that, a 50-60 crores every year is going to be a recurring investment. That is the way my model is, that we bring new partners on board, and they take about 12-24 months of gestation, you know. So that's the answer to your first point. I think as this happens, you know, number one, as we discussed earlier in terms of gross margin improvement impact and the EBITDA margin, we should see us seeing an EBITDA improvement. Of course, we are not happy, you know, with the last 18-24 months performance. So therefore, we tightened our belts and took some. Of course, the global environment have been tough as well. But notwithstanding, I think, you know, we are not happy, and we are trying to, you know, get into a stage wherein our performance should be reflective of whatever platform is due. So I guess, you know, next few quarters, the measures taken, initiatives taken, should see the translation of that into numbers.
Right. Sir, that is from me. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kiran Gadge with Knightstone Capital Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Under BCG initiative, we had COGS and OpEx cost savings. If you could provide full year number for both?
So I think our teams should be able to separately give you, you know, specific inputs. As I recall, we had foreseen, you know, that annually about 40-50 crore we should be able to save in our procurement, and circa similar number in our OpEx as well. So I think we are well on track. But to your specific ask, I think there was also earlier an ask on some specific details of the new vertical. Both these points we have taken a note, and our teams would be in touch to answer that.
Okay. And we saw degrowth in H2 for Simple Approach, Crayons, Flider vertical. So if you could talk about them.
I think Simple Approach, I would pick the first, you know, I think it's H2 has been an aberration, so we should see the vertical getting back in growth from H1 itself. So that's number one. I think Crayons is largely serving the U.S. markets, and there have been, as you know, the turbulence due to the tariff impact and otherwise. But structurally, beyond the U.S. impact, Crayons is looking fine, you know, both in terms of top line and profitability. So these two, we are very positive that in H1 itself, you should see them posting both top line growth as well as profitability growth. Our vertical Flider may take one or two more quarters. You know, it is very leanly, very low cost structure, profitable business, but it may take one or two more quarters, you know, to get the growth back. So, but on the whole, these three put together aggregate should have an H1 growth.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rudraksh Raheja with iThought Financial Consulting. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, I wanted to ask on the Red Lobster division, how much revenues and profit before tax did we do in this for FY26?
Yeah, so, just go with your second question while we're just taking out in a few seconds the numbers, please.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sir, circling back on the operating expenses part, you mentioned that, if we remove the one-off from other expenses, the growth rate would have been 11% instead of 16%. Could you quantify similar figures for employee expense as well? Like, how much can be, growth can be attributed to one-off, which we hope won't be repeated in FY27?
Yeah, I think our employee cost last year was circa 1211 crores. This year has been about 1310 crores. So this is almost an increase of about 100 crores or so. I think the Knit Gallery and the GSC were about 50 to 60 crores out of this 100 crore increase. So if I take that out, our employee cost would have gone up apple to apple about 40 odd crores as compared to the same period last year, which is almost an increase of 3.5% in terms of percentage. So this is answering your point. Does that answer your question before I come to New Lobster?
Partially, sir. So just one small clarification. Since GSCL and Knit Gallery both would be part of our business going forward, whatever base we have for revenues in last two quarters, let's say, that should be ideally continue for next year as well. And whatever growth we may do on top of that would be additional.
Yeah, so 1318, the 1310 crore that we have as an employee cost is the base now. I think now there would be, if at all, any merit increase or any initiatives in terms of employee cost efficiencies should be on the base of 1310. That's the new base that we have right now.
Understood, sir.
In terms of your question on a New Lobster, we had, for the entire year, income from operations of approximately 500 crores, and similar period last year was about 480 odd crores, so it's almost an increase of about 4%, but there has been a decline in the gross margin of the business by about 10%, from about 30% last year to about 20% this year, mainly because the agency business New Lobster almost dried away. So therefore, the gross profit, which was 150 crores, came down to almost about 100 odd crores this year. And therefore, as a result, because of the 4% growth, but the margin decline, the profit after tax of the business, which was circa about 13 odd crores last year, has actually increased, this year to almost about 38 odd crores or so. So it's kind of, that's the situation where it stands, and we are working on it to try and, bring the business closer to, firstly, cut losses and bring the business to profitability. But this is where it stands, that the decline in gross margin impacted the profits of the business.
Understood, sir. Sir, could you help us understand, you have highlighted in your PPT this New Lobster turnaround with a red circle, which signifies there is some initiatives that you are still undergoing here. Could you help us understand that?
Yeah, I'll request Palak to first give us thoughts, and then, required, I'll supplement the numbers.
Yeah, so as Sanjay mentioned, out of most of our subsidiaries, New Lobster, which is a Ted Baker business, remains one of the bigger challenges, especially around the bankruptcy of the retail partners, that ABG had chosen. If those bankruptcies had not happened, then this business would have been highly profitable, but it is what it is now. The financial situation of those retail partners was not what was expected. So we are in close discussion with ABG, the brand owner, and discussing with them either they have to give PDS a financial contribution every year for us to be able to maintain and run the head office of the business, or they have to then find a new retail partner who will then be able to ramp up the volumes and give us the adequate turnover required to be able to maintain the infrastructure of the entire buying and design operation of New Lobster for Ted Baker. So they are the discussions we are having right now. So hopefully we'll have some conclusion in the next 4 to 6 weeks. In this current financial year, they've already agreed to a financial contribution of around $2.5 million, which will be paid to New Lobster on a monthly basis, which will help us in improving our profitability. But that financial contribution is only for 12 months. So we are asking them to extend it for another 24 months after the 12-month period is over, or replace that with additional turnover coming through a new appointed retail franchise partner. So we are very actively trying to address this issue, because for us also this is one of the bigger pain points, and hopefully, you know, we will have some positive conclusion in the next 4 to 6 weeks with our discussion with ABG. Sanjeev, would you add anything further?
No, Palak, I think we answered the numbers earlier and you've answered on the thought process going forward to address the business.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brand is doing well. It's still very strong brand, you know, but just the volumes are not there to support the infrastructure we are carrying to run the brand. We just opened a concession in Selfridges. So when a brand ends up becoming in Selfridges in UK, definitely, you know, the Selfridges would not take the brand unless they see value in the brand. And also Aditya Birla, the franchise partner in India, is planning to open 10 more stores in the next 2 years. So the brand continues to perform and has strong consumer connect. Just the economic and financial model we have to work out with ABG. They are quite committed, you know. They also want the brand to grow and to flourish from where it is currently.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai with Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Large clarifications on the earlier answers that you have given. So the first question, Sanjay, is that we talked about 11% order book growth and mid-single digit revenue growth. While we also said that the US business order book is up by 30%, Europe also last year, you know, from the base, the Matlan and Gary Weber has gone out. So are we expecting very sharp degrowth in Europe? Because this kind of doesn't add up.
See, you know, if I slice the order book growth, for example, UK and Europe is a low single digit, about 3-4% growth in order book. Asia is looking at about 8-9% growth in order book, and America is faster than 30%. So it's not degrowth in terms of order book. But when we talk about a 5-6% growth versus an 11% order book, yes, we are being cautious, because last year also saw from time to time some pushback from the customers to hold the shipments. You know, we deal with good creditable customers, so eventually they take shipments, but there has been a pushback. The customers have been cautious on inventory buildup as well. So it is this caution, you know, that is kind of holding us back. You know, we hope that the order book growth translates into top line growth, but whatever one has witnessed in the past few quarters makes one cautious about it.
Got it. A second question is, you know, you talked about 40 to 50 bits margin improvement, and you know, new investment going down by another 40 odd crores. So if I add both of this up, it's 90 to 100 crore kind of a number flowing through to EBITDA. Now, because our financing, the debt side is kind of, we are managed balance sheet very well. So if we don't increase the finance cost and not much of a capex, so ideally this all should flow through to the PAT, right? But you talked about 10% you know, PAT growth. So I'm not able to reconcile this.
So I think I don't have a difference of opinion from the math you just did. I think, you know, a 5% top line, circa 10% bottom line is where we stand, you know, in terms of extreme caution. And, you know, hopefully things should get delivered better. That is where we stand. And as quarters passes by, as we keep delivering, you know, that should allow us to relook at it, but this is where it stands as of now. You know, we need to be prepared for the global headwinds that are there, so that's where we are coming from.
So if this to translate whatever that you are saying, that means that 900 crore EBITDA delta will come, right? Is that, if we kind of able to pull it off, both those things, or am I missing something?
No, I think slicing it into pieces, 40-50 basis point gross margin, yes, we are geared towards that. Curtailment of expenses lower than the top line growth, we are geared for that. So if all goes well, it should translate into it should translate into commensurate profit. Yes, it should.
Okay.
We don't have color confirmation. We are restraining from committing to new investments for one more year. You know, we would of course be signing sourcing as a service contract, but in a typical manner, the way we take new verticals on board, you know, through the P&L, we are restraining for 12 more months. So therefore, all of this should translate, but this is where it stands right now.
Last question. So in US this quarter till 9 months, I think US growth was 19%, and for the entire year it is 10%. So looks like that there was some degrowth in Q4. Is that the understanding correct? And given that we are from a low base, we have penetrated into so many accounts, should we expect that 25-30% plus kind of a growth in FY27, or how should we look at it?
See, if I've understood your question right, I think our America's top line in quarter four has been pretty much flat. It's in terms of dollar terms, it's about 0.4% up. Sequentially, in quarter four, it has slightly come down as compared to quarter three. It's about 4-5% lower. But I think tariff situation, in fact, one of the participants asked a question on crayons, that crayons has declined in H2. And we, yes, it has declined, but it has got a stable order book like Costco as client, etc. But that's history. Today, where we stand is a 30% growth in America's order book as compared to same period last year. So we should see now more traction building up in terms of growth for America.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, EY team, and thank you so much for all the participants who took time to be part of the call. And we shall be in touch with you at the end of the next quarter. And extending greetings to all of you. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of PDS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.